everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 12th of May at about 11:05 Pacific time. And I'm so glad to be here. And I apologize for being late. I was with a client. That's the nature of my job. So, you know, that's what comes first. But I know you guys get it. Because if it was you that needed my help, well, I'd be there for you. So that's the way it goes. But I'm here now and I've got an interesting show put together for you. Want to let you know that you can find us over in the chat room by heading over to 12radio.com, clicking on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. So that's certainly one way to connect. But you can also just head over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic and find me there as well in my live stream. So lots of ways to do it. You might want to be in the live stream today, honestly. I've got a few things to show you. And for those of you that are watching after the fact, I know quite a few of you do that. I want to welcome you and thank you for being a part of my journey here as well. Oh, how's it going? How was your Mother's Day, if you celebrate? All good, I hope. All is well here. We had a gender reveal / Mother's Day event because my nephew Stone has a girlfriend and she is pregnant and it's so exciting. So we were a little busy doing all of that. And the gender reveal revealed that the baby's a boy and we're very, very excited. So Stone is like, he's one of those guys that, like, if something crazy is going to happen, it'll happen to him. He is just an absolutely hilarious human being and has a heart of gold. He's going to be such a good dad. But I'm so excited to see what Mini Stone looks like. This is going to be crazy. They better have good insurance because that boy's been to the emergency room lots of times. Oh, gosh. But good stuff. Mars was home for the weekend, and all my kids will be home next weekend. That's when we're going to officially celebrate Mother's Day. But we have all these weddings and baby things happening in our family right now, and it's just keeping us so busy. Yeah. Oh, Amy's going to be a great, great aunt this weekend. Wow. Right, Pebble? We teased him that he was going to have to name the baby Pebbles. He said no. Hey, Pam and Jane. Good to see everybody. I have a bunch of stuff on Etsy, believe it or not. I know. It's been a time that I haven't gotten anything posted. And I don't know if it's unfortunately or fortunately, but the mugs I was so excited about already sold. So I was very excited to bring those to you, and now I cannot, but I have another fun mug to show you. So let me share my screen here real quick. Okay, sorry. Slow moving on the tech here. Okay, right here. I can get myself a little smaller. Yeah. So, I love this. They look like jeans. Is that not adorable? And I did gold luster on the button so that they would jump out. I'm in love with it. I think I'm going to make myself one. I was trying to decide what mine would look like. But fun stuff. But there's quite a bit more than that. So I put a link to my Etsy in the chat room. But if you're not in the chat room, just search for Joyful Goddess Designs on Etsy and you'll find it. That's an easy, easy way. For whatever reason, Etsy makes it hard to find seller names. And so to me, it's easier if you just go to Google and type in Joyful Goddess Designs on Etsy and you'll find it. Crazy, but that's how they do it. But I want to show a few more things to you that are listed over there. Scott and I made these butterflies for the last fair that we did. We did an oddities market and I ordered butterflies from a butterfly farm that harvests and sells the butterfly carcasses because it helps them to afford to function. And I think these are really cool. So it is just the wings because I pressed them in between prism glass. And then, so we made them kind of like stained glass. So the edges are soldered. And they're just beautiful. And one of the things that I think is so cool is how many of the butterflies are different on either side. This one actually is the same, the one I just showed you. But I have others that are pretty remarkably different depending on the side you're looking at. And I just happen to think that's pretty freaking awesome. So I'll show you a couple more. The glare is so bad. That's better. Okay. This one, and it is a little different on this side. But anyway, I have a bunch of these, so they're all photographed and videos and pictures of both sides of the wing so that you can see it all. So you can find that over on my Etsy. But I also have a bunch of chokers that we made a while ago. Really love these. So most of them have a fused glass tip to them or a fused glass end. Look how cool that is. It's black and red and kind of a smoky gray clear. That's the whole choker. So I have all of those posted that I have made, and there's red and black ones, there's purple, there's a kind of a blue and green color, and then there's some that are just metal too that are kind of cute. So anyway, I have got those there, and then my bones. You might recall that a couple of months ago I did a bones show, and we talked about how to make your own set and what throwing bones is, and I put a few sets together for a fair, and I still have two sets, so I finally got those up on Etsy. So this is fun because you get the bag. And a throwing mat. And then all the pieces that I gathered. Now, remember that with a bone set, you continue to build on it. So, little trinkets you pick up along the way, charms, stones, shells, stuff like that. You could either start replacing the pieces in it or adding to it pieces that are meaningful for you. So, this has a meaning chart for the pieces that are in it. So, there's a shell. The shell is for protection, emotional boundaries, and what's being shielded. There's an antler, little antler piece. And the antler is for strength, resilience, ancestral masculinity, and survival. There's a little compass. And the compass is for direction, guidance, where energy is moving. Little magnifying glass for things that need a closer look. There's an evil eye. I made the evil eyes, of course, out of fused glass. And the evil eye, of course, could mean protection from harm, envy, and unseen interference that you need to recognize. There's a key. The key access, opportunity, and solutions unlocking. There's a big safety pin for holding things together, temporary protection, repair, and things that need to be repaired. There's a sword. And the sword is for conflict, truth, decisive action, and boundaries. There's a thimble. The thimble is for protection in work, patience, and small, careful efforts. There's an ancestor coin. Scott engraved that one, but obviously, recognizing when ancestral influence, inherited wisdom, and lineage may be coming into play. An hourglass. And it works. It's so cute. For timing, patience, urgency, and cycles. How about bones in a bone set? Now remember, a bone set isn't all about bones. It has some bones, maybe, but certainly not all. It has lots of other bones, which are just pieces, trinkets, whatever. But this set does have 5 small bones in it. They're just itty bitties. And the bones I bought on Etsy from a seller who actually gathers roadkill and cleans the bones and then packages and sells them. And they're super clean, like super, super clean. So these are tail bones from raccoons and foxes. But I wanted to make sure that wherever I got bones, I was comfortable with how they were sourced. But these guys just specialize in picking up roadkill and cleaning it up and harvesting the bones. That sounds like a gory job that I could never do in 10,000 years. Then there's the querent coin. The querent coin represents you. Wish you could see that better. I don't know. Scott engraved this on one of his machines. So, but this is the coin that represents you. So when you throw the bones, this goes in the center of the mat, and then you toss all your bones out, and a lot of what you're looking at is how it connects to you as the querent. Maybe you're not the querent, though. Maybe you're reading for somebody else, and they would be the querent. And then lastly, there's a glass heart in there that I made, and it represents love, vulnerability, and emotional truth. So, anyway, if you want a bone set, go over to Etsy. I only have 2 left. I sold some of them. So go pick it up now while you can. But these are kind of cool. I think they're actually really cool. But if you've been thinking about trying a different kind of divination, you know, playing with something else, this might land for you. Okay. Gathering up all my toys here. All right. So anyway, that's what's new over on Etsy. And I can't wait to show you what I'm working on right now. I discovered that I have slip molds for tiny little children's tea sets. It's really, and they're vintage molds. And the tea sets are so sweet. Little teapots about this tall, maybe. Maybe less. Little tiny cups, saucer, sugar, creamer, little plates. Oh my god, they're so cute. I cannot wait to finish them and show you. But anyway, enough of that. Let's move on to our topic. Oh, I had one thing I wanted to show you. I wanted to show you a picture I took last night. This is at one of my favorite places in the world. And Scott and I were out walking last night, and on our way home, the sun was setting, and it was so pretty. And I went, you know, let's drive out there. Sometimes I just need to sit out there and watch the sunset on the river. It just is soul food for me. So anyway, beautiful picture, beautiful place. But let's get on with our topic here. I was chatting with some of my true crime listeners a couple days ago, and the topic of smell came up, and how wild it is that smells hold so many memories and can trigger memories the way they do. And we were talking specifically, she was asking me, because she knows that once a million years ago that I worked at Kmart, and so did Christy, and so did Scott, and so did our mom, and so did Rhonda, and so did Kara, like our whole crew. We didn't all work at the same Kmart, but most of us did. Anyway, so she was asking if our Kmart had a cafeteria. And that just triggered a bevy of smells for me. My mom worked in the cafeteria at Kmart when I was really little, like grade school age, probably. And I said immediately, I said, I can remember going to Kmart at night in the evenings when she was working, that my dad would take us over there to visit, and that they had these little puddings that they'd put whipped cream on them and put a maraschino cherry on them, and then they'd sit in the case all day, and then at night they'd sell them for like a buck, so my dad would buy them for us. And I could still remember the way those smell and the way the Kmart cafeteria smelled. And it just makes me laugh now thinking about that. But I was just thinking, it just got me deeper into smells. And then a lot of people started reminiscing about things that they can still smell if they see them. If I drive past a Mormon church, I can smell it just by driving past. It's just weird. But then I started thinking about how smells unlock memories, whether you see something and it triggers a smell in your mind, or you smell something and it triggers a bunch of memories, but there's a deep connection there. So I wanted to talk about it because I think it's a really interesting topic. I also asked on my own Facebook page this morning about people just thinking about things that they smell that trigger memories for them, or smelling people. I was thinking most specifically about, do you smell people that have passed sometimes? So I'm not going to talk about that till the end of this, but I'm throwing it out now so that if you want to share with me in the chat room, do you ever smell your loved ones that have passed? Do you ever smell something that brings them right back, or randomly smell it where you really feel like that's them visiting you? If you do, tell me about it. All right, so I called this episode The Sacred Language of Scent. How fragrance became one of humanity's oldest spiritual tools. I was thinking about my grandma Betty, that anytime I smell big red gum or White Shoulders perfume, that is Grandma Betty to me. That is her coming to say hi. Those were scents that will just always remind me of her. And my cousin Eric, that died when he was in high school, when I was in high school. And Eric was like, he was a cousin, but he was more like a brother to me. And he was killed in a car accident. And it was like, I think we all have that first death in our lives that, like, pulls us out of childhood a little bit. Like, I'd lost a couple of great grandparents at that point, but a peer? My neighbors had lost a child at that point, too, and I was somewhat present during that time. But to have someone that I, like, loved dearly die, that was the first time. And every once in a while, I still catch a whiff of his cologne. I think it was Obsession. Yeah. I can be in a sealed car driving down the road and I will smell that. Right now it's just him. But other things. Wooden pencils always remind me of elementary school and of buying school supplies. Baking bread reminds me so much of my great-grandma, my Granny Moore. The smell of sage takes me straight back to Healing Hands and all of the healing circles and other rituals that we did there that we burned sage for. But scents do a lot for us in our brain, and it's just amazing. So the science of smell and memory, because of course there's a science behind it. But science tells us that smell is deeply connected to the limbic system in your brain. This is associated with memory, emotion, instinct, and survival. So that Sense of smell that brings back memories is the part of your survival brain. Makes sense, right? I think about like our ancestors, early ancestors, and they probably were constantly smelling for safety, right? We don't really do that anymore in some ways, but then again, if you smell gas, you know to turn off the stove or to check something, right? If you smell smoke, you know that you may be in danger. But that's not it. It's a very core part of your survival system to be constantly smelling and processing what you're smelling. And that attaches to your memory. Just like when a child touches a hot stove and gets burned, his memory will start reminding him, hey, and it might be for a while every time he walks past the stove, don't touch that. It's hot. Don't touch that. It hurts. It's that kind of core memory. Not all smells bring back good memories. Not some smells can create anxiety in people. Some smells can trigger a panic attack, depending on experiences that you've had. The hospital smell and the funeral home smell are ones that hit a lot of people really hard. But what about fragrance to the ancients? In Egypt, of course, we know. I mean, the tombs held all kinds of perfumes and oils and incenses and resins and things that smell, right? They believed that fragrance nourished the gods and the spirit. Kaifi is one of the most famous Egyptian incense blends, contained myrrh, honey, wine, raisins, cinnamon, and frankincense. It was burned at night during rituals and was believed to calm the body while opening the mind to divine connection and dreams. Isn't that interesting? Frankincense and myrrh, of course, they were so valuable that they were treated almost like currency. Priests used them in purification ceremonies, burial rites, and temple offerings because a pleasant fragrance symbolized spiritual purity and divine presence. And of course, we have frankincense and myrrh in the biblical tradition. That these scents became associated with holiness, prayer, and reverence. Frankincense, especially, we see in ancient rituals, really, not just in ancient Egypt or, but it, frankincense grows in the Middle East and only in the Middle East. And so, rituals, ancient rituals are that contain frankincense. Would have an origin in the Middle East. Myrrh, of course, was associated with anointing, healing, and burial rites. But even today, some churches still burn incense during ceremonies. It changes the scent and the atmosphere. It signals the nervous system that this moment is different from ordinary life. I think that might be something that is the most important part of using scent with spirituality or fragrance with spirituality is to set an experience apart from what you normally experience. Interesting. But you still see, yeah, churches with, like the hanging chargers that they light incense in and waft around. Let's talk about incense. Incense has existed in some form for thousands and thousands of years. Amazing. In China, India, Tibet, Egypt, Greece, Rome, Japan, and throughout the Middle East. Incense has been a part of ceremony, meditation, mourning, cleansing, and celebration. You know that those scents are doing something because they have survived for time immemorial. So some cultures believe that smoke carries prayers upward. Others believe that fragrant smoke purifies spaces or invited spiritual beings closer. You know, incense changes a room, right? When we were at Healing Hands, one of the first things you'd do when you opened was light a stick of incense, and then many more times during the day. We also had our fountain was in a big sand, like Zen garden thing that people could sit on cushions in front of and meditate and spend time. And people were encouraged there to light a stick of incense or a candle and sit with it. But people expected to smell that when they walked in our store. Sometimes, even now, I just start craving Nag Champa. Or like Tibetan temple incense, and I have a big supply, as you can imagine. And I'll get it out and light it. Scott will be like, "Were you burning incense?" Yeah, I just needed it for some reason. All right, in India, the chakra connection. Hindu and Buddhist traditions, fragrance has been woven into meditation, ritual, and energetic practices. Sandalwood became one of the most spiritually significant scents in the world because of these cultures. Used for meditation and prayer, sandalwood's believed to quiet mental chatter and help focus awareness inward. But there's so much more. Different flowers, herbs, and oils became associated with the chakra system. For example, rose for the heart chakra, jasmine for sensuality, intuition, and emotional openness. Could be for the third eye or for the crown. Patchouli for grounding and root chakra stability. Lotus for enlightenment and spiritual awakening, if you have a large bank account. Nag Champa for meditation and sacred focus. But yes, spirituality has taken sense, particularly in the forms of essential oils or incense, and used them pretty extensively. How about smoke cleansing and sacred herbs? So, across many indigenous traditions, we know things like sacred smoke has been used for cleansing, prayer, protection, smudging, things like that. Plants like sage, cedar, sweetgrass, palo santo, juniper, and mugwort have all been used extensively with spiritual meanings attached for a long time. Sage is one of those that's a real trigger, for, not a trigger, but a, well, I can say that. I don't mean trigger in a negative way, but a trigger of memories from Healing Hands always will be. Suzanne says, "Oh, certain incense remind me immediately of being at the Omega Institute, even though I haven't been there in several years." Oh, yeah, most definitely. Oh, Pamela said sawdust reminds her of her dad. We'll get to the rest of those. The phenomena of smelling loved ones who have passed. This is interesting, and the reason I asked it on my Facebook page is that sometimes I like to ask a more spiritual kind of question. I haven't done it in a while, but to get people talking about something that they have in common. And I will tell you that the people that responded to that post are some of my new agey friends and a lot of friends that weren't, that aren't. It's like asking people if they've ever seen a ghost or had an experience with a ghost, and you will have people that come out of the woodwork with a story from all different belief systems and walks of life. There are some things that people just have experienced, whether, regardless of what their beliefs are or aren't. So I'm going to share some of the experiences that were shared with me today, but Amy said, and she did share on my Facebook, but she smells her dad all the time in Cody Musk and cigarettes. She said it's a comforting smell for sure. Jane thought she was getting visited by her dad from cigarette smoke, but alas, it's my upstairs neighbor's smoke in my alley and it's coming in my window. Ah, rude. Again, Pamela says sawdust reminds her of her dad. Yeah. Some of the other responses. Someone said she gets the aroma of Marlboro at her sister's house, and no one smokes, but her husband passed 15 years ago and he smoked Marlboros. Someone else said mothballs makes them think of their grandmother. Someone else said she smells her granddaddy's aftershave. Someone else said that they smell Vitalis and it reminds them of their dad. And on, but point being, there is something to smells and spirits. So what does it mean? I'll tell you what my experience as a medium has been, and that is that that's a way to get your attention, a really easy one. We are so distracted, right? We're so distracted all the time that it makes it very hard, I think, sometimes for the other side to get our attention, to make contact with us in a way that we actually are paying attention to at all. And one of those ways is scent. Not all of us are that tuned into subtleties, right? And our current world is so full of overstimulation all the time that I think scents are just a really good way to A, comfort you, and B, get your attention. Amy says, mothballs remind her of playing hide and seek at her grandma's house as a kid. Nice. All right, the witch's cabinet. In European folk traditions, of course, we know that a lot of more practical magic, hearth magic, cottage magic, scent was just a part of daily life. Lavender tucked beneath pillows. Rosemary burned for remembrance and purification. Mint for prosperity. Cinnamon for warmth, luck, and abundance. Clove for protection and warding. People infused oil, they carried sachets, they hung herbs over doorways, and brewed fragrant teas with intention attached to the plant. A lot of it wasn't necessarily intentional magic as much as it was daily practice. It was just a part of their lives. And it is ours too. I mean, we do lots of things that are intentional that have to do with scent even now. So you could create your own sacred scent ritual. This is simple stuff, like lighting incense before you journal or meditate, or diffuse oils while meditating, by keeping Rosemary by your doorway, by wearing a perfume that reminds you of your strongest self, by brewing tea intentionally and really sitting with it and smelling it, by burning a candle connected to a memory or a season of healing. Lots of easy ways to enact scent rituals into your life, whether purposefully or just a part of daily living. But I just wanted to get you thinking about scent today and how it does affect you, how it's affected you in the past, and what your thoughts are on that. Okay, moving on. Kelly's Refeminist History this week is the Taurus New Moon, the end of a 7-year cycle, and the life you can finally sustain. Really good article. Interesting stuff about the 7-year cycle. You know, I'm not an astrologer, so a lot of these things I don't know a whole lot about and don't track, so was glad to see it. So, great article, and thank you, Kelly, for that, as always. Okay, my tip this week is how to make your own incense. I have done this many times. I think this is really fun. So I wanted to introduce you to doing this. I'm going to pull. Yeah. I guess I should send you a link to Luminous too. What am I doing? If you, Subscribe to Luminous. You already received this today and you have it in your inbox already. But I'll put a link up too so you can find it easily. So it's very possible to make your own incense and really focus on the scents that you want. Now, obviously, you might have an incense that you like that you purchase and you're happy with, and that's awesome too. More power to you. However, you can make your own for fun. So you're going to need whatever dried herbs, resins, woods, flowers, or roots that you're planning on using. If you're going to do something that makes it stick together, like to make it into pellets or sticks, you have to have a binder, like mako powder, wood powder, or dried powdered leaves like raspberry leaf or marshmallow root. I usually have just made mine as a powder that gets dropped onto charcoal discs. You'll need a small bowl. You'll need a mortar and a pestle grinder. You have to have this. You need measuring spoons, an airtight container, and charcoal dishes for burning, and a fire-safe burner or dish. You can't skip that. You have to have something that's fire-safe to burn your stuff in. And if you use a metal bowl, you can buy metal bowls for this. Just know that that bowl's going to get hot as hell. Those little charcoal discs, when you get those lit and glowing, those suckers are hot. So be super, super careful. This coming from someone who's burned herself really good a couple of times on this stuff. All right, some thoughts, and you don't have to use the stuff that I'm suggesting. If there's other stuff you want to try, please do it. But for cleansing or clearing, sage, cedar, juniper, rosemary, or frankincense. For relaxation, lavender, chamomile, sandalwood. For love, rose, jasmine, cinnamon, damiana. For protection, myrrh, dragon's blood, black pepper. For grounding, patchouli, vetiver, cedar, or Palo Santo. For focus, rosemary, peppermint, pine, frankincense. For spiritual connection, copal, my favorite. Frankincense, mugwort, sandalwood, lotus. Again, you don't have to do what I'm telling you. You can do whatever you want. You can buy some of these things already powdered. I have powdered frankincense, and I have powdered yellow sandalwood. And the sandalwood, I will tell you, is just in the plastic packaging I bought it in like probably 10 years ago. And my whole craft room, it's in a box in there, smells like that all the time. It's sealed in a box. Luckily, I absolutely love the way that smells, but that is some potent stuff. So, of your resins, your tree resins, you may be able to purchase them, like I said, already ground. If not, you'll put them in your mortar and pestle and grind them up yourself. But I think if you can buy some of your powders pre-ground, to me, that makes more sense. But because it does take some elbow grease to grind some of that, the resins that are pretty stiff. Family, you love pine. So does Micah. Micah always asks me for more pine-based essential oils because he likes to diffuse them in his bedroom. But pine is very, very calming to him. Okay. Then you prepare your ingredients. So you're gonna, everything has to be absolutely 100% dry without question. You can break larger pieces into smaller chunks for easier grinding. But you're going to grind your ingredients into a fine powder. Do not overfill your pestle bowl, your mortar. You will, which is the mortar and which is the pestle? I think the bowl is the mortar, right? Hell, I don't know. Now I'm not sure. Someone tell me. don't put too much in your bowl. Do one herb at a time. And maybe don't even use all of that. You're going to discover quickly that this is a bit of a chore and less will be more. Once you have them all ground down into a fine powder, and you can leave them a little bit more coarse if you want to. Usually you want to get them pretty powdered down. So then you're going to mix them with your base if you're using a base. And again, you don't have to use a base. If you're just going to mix all of this stuff up and then sprinkle it onto a charcoal disc, you don't have to use a base unless you want to. If you do use a base, you may be able to squeeze them into sticks of sorts and let them dry and harden, or you might just be able to like squeeze them into little like discs or shapes or not. If you're using a binder, you want one part herbs and resins to one part base or binder. And then you're going to store it in an airtight jar. It's recommended that you let them sit for a few days to blend, but you could certainly make them and burn them today and probably be none the wiser. To burn your incense on a charcoal disc, again, put your disc in a safe bowl. Light the edge of the charcoal disc until you see it spark. And then it takes a few minutes. The mortar is the bowl. Thank you, Suzanne. I knew someone would know. It takes a little bit after you light that, and you might think nothing's happening. There's usually a really wispy smoke, but you'll see some white start to gather around the edge. And you can light more than one edge of your disc too if you want to speed it up. But you're going to wait a few minutes for your disc to get hot and to start glowing, and it'll start turning like a gray white. That's when you want to start putting your incense on it. So sprinkle a small pinch, and by small pinch, I really mean small pinch on top. And because that's going to create a lot of smoke, just a little bit. And you can keep adding to it if you want to. But to begin, don't go too crazy till you see how pungent this is, how potent it is. You have to know that things smell differently burning than they do, well, not burning, right? So go slow and make sure that you like what you're getting. You can just enjoy the smoke and set your intention. I do not like to burn nutmeg. The reason why is that nutmeg can be used as a hallucinogenic. Some people actually have been known to smoke nutmeg. It makes you sick. It smells really bad. I have smelled burning nutmeg before and it really turned my stomach. So I personally avoid nutmeg because I worry a little about the safety of it. And also, I just can't handle it. Nutmeg is one of my favorite scents, but not burning. Ooh, not burning. Some tips. Start with small batches. Don't make a big dish of this stuff just to decide you hate it, right? So start with small batches until you find some combos that you really like. Again, resins like frankincense or copal can be slightly crushed before grinding, or you can buy it powdered. You can add a few drops of essential oils to enhance your scent if you want to, or say that's all you have of a certain scent that you wanted to add. You can use essential oils alongside of it. And trust your intuition. But I will tell you, this is a fun project. It's fun to decide what you want, for your mix and find a way to acquire it. And then just go to the work of making your incense. Oh, that's funny. Tara used nutmeg for nausea while she was pregnant. Interesting. I wanted to show you one blend that I made years ago. This was in an abundance kit that I was selling. It's called Limitless. Hard to see it, but that's what it looks like. Just a little powdered guy, and then of course your little charcoal discs. You can buy the charcoal discs in any new age store. Anybody that sells loose incense should have it, or powdered incense. If not, I'm sure this could be ordered online in a minute. But this is what they look like, just little charcoal discs. I also think making individual incenses, like if you have a lot of New Age friends or a New Age friend, making somebody an individual incense, just like making them an individual tea, would be a fun thing to do. And to be able to say, I used, roses because they remind me of you, and I used this because of this experience with you. Or, you could put together an entire blend with the intention of either helping this person with something that you wanted to help them with, or just in celebrating who they are. But I love the idea of giving somebody their own personal incense blend that you put together for them, and that these are the reasons why. Oh, Christy's energy exercise this week is her Shakti manifesting video. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. If you like true crime but you don't like it super edgy, watch this episode right here, the H.H. Holmes Bend, Oregon Pisser. Yeah, you heard that right. The mac and cheese scheme. The bug tussle situation. This is a funny episode that is the funnier side of true crime. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that is what I've got for Luminous today. So hopefully you found something in there that was a gem for you. Now my wheels are turning about what incense I want to make. It's been a hot minute since I made incense. Maybe it's time. Oh, what is with this hair today? Ugh, anyway. I don't regret the bangs, but man, they get in my eyes sometimes. Alrighty. Well, I want to remind you guys that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And of course, you can find me over there every day. And I am, and it's 12 day today. So this is the one day of the month that we really celebrate the 12 world around here. And we are all on reduced, randomized pricing with special time-based services. I want to just share my time-based service with you. If you guys are on my Click for Advisor mailing list, meaning that you've been a client of mine at some point, then you get an email from me every 12 day with jokes. Do you want to hear the jokes this week? This month? They're terrible. Spoiler alert. They're ridiculous. They're never good jokes. But I think they're funny. The first joke was, why did the banana go to the doctor? Because he wasn't peeling very well. Oh, Spirit, you've got friends that are selling incense? That's awesome. Okay. I put up a link to that time-based session. One more joke. I've been trying to organize a hide-and-seek tournament for some time now, but good players are really hard to find. Oh, I know. That's lame as hell, but it's funny, right? I'm a dad joke fan. It's insane. My kids hate to see me coming. Oh, they make theirs from land material? That's so cool. I love that. Speaking of New Mexico, have you guys ever had pinyon coffee? I don't know if they say it pinyon or pinon coffee, but it's a New Mexico thing. One of my true crime listeners was talking about it, in a chat the other day, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm down for any coffee, right? So I ordered a bag. It's really freaking cool. It's awesome. It is flavored like pinions, and it's really good. So anyhow, if you've never tried that and you have the chance, I recommend that you do. Amy said those are her favorite kind of jokes. I love it. Like, have you ever heard of the restaurant on the moon? No atmosphere. Last pronunciation, pinyon. Pinyon. Okay, thank you, Spirit. All righty. Well, guys, I'm gonna go. So I'll be back next week, same place, same time. My favorite wildlife park is opening this weekend, the one that I had a season pass to last year. For sure, doing that again this year. They're opening this weekend, and I'm so excited. We've been driving past and peeking through the fence at the foxes every day. And I happen to know from what I've seen, there's baby foxes on the way. Absolutely. Anyway, so I'm sure I'll have plenty to share with you next week because we're going to go this weekend. So I'll probably bring you way more pictures of foxes and bears and buffalo and deer and elk than you ever wanted to see. But by God, you're getting it here. All right, guys. I'll see you over at 1tolisten.com. Until then, I'll see you next week. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show, where we're changing the way you're listening to the world.